the fucking... How do I always get on the one with the dog barking?
I don't know. It's terrible.
It's like a dog barking slash somebody laughing. Very synthetic. Welcome to Armageddon After Party, a beacon of hope in a dark, dark world. I'm Dick Cleverboy here in the bunker once again with just the Reverend Flores today. Just, I say, Reverend Flores, the Digger Knot, Lumberjohn, Mr. Fancy Pants, sometimes we call him that.
I don't think, no matter how many nicknames you review over for me, I don't think it's going to take away anything from the fact that we're down a man.
Down a man again. Two in a row. Oh my gosh. If I guess that's assuming we put out the last one because it's, woo!
Is it that bad?
I mean, we'll see how this one stacks up.
Well, I don't think he's ever, usually he's like, oh, I'll send you the final copy. This one, he was like, I'm going to send this one to you and let you have a listen. So it's like, I don't know. It's not very much faith in the product right there.
Yeah. I don't remember much about what we talked about, but I think we got real deep. it was one of those kind of casts, you know, it's a deep cast.
Awesome.
It's like, you know, it's like going fishing. Sometimes you got to have a deep cast.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, you got to get those bottom feeders. but, yeah. So, we missed you last week, but glad to have you back.
Oh, it's good to be back, man.
We didn't really miss you.
I didn't think y'all did.
No, we got through it just fine. Just fine without you. but we did speak a little bit about the whole taking a knee during the national anthem, and I haven't gotten your take on it. So let's bring up that old bag of horses.
I like the idea of respecting the flag and respecting the national anthem and standing there at attention with your hand across your heart, but you can't really stop people from protesting. I mean, it's a peaceful protest. Like I have a problem sometimes just with protesting because I wonder how effective it is. It's like all the millions of dollars that is spent on advertising. And like, I've never actually seen any proof that advertising, I mean, I guess it works on some level. Definitely it has to, but protests are the same way. Like, I don't know how effective protests actually are.
Right. But, well, I feel like this has been a pretty effective one. Just in the fact that it's gotten at least people to be talking about it, even if they don't really understand what it is they're fucking talking about.
I don't know. I don't know how effective it's been. Like, it's people aren't talking. Like, they're not having an active, like, good, decent discussion where, like, ideas are being presented and thought through by the other side. Like, the really twisted thing is that Trump has done what he does, which is get out and manipulate the media and just change the narrative.
Right.
Like, it's gone from, I mean, people didn't like Kaepernick protesting to begin with, but then all of a sudden it's like he's essentially pissing on the flag and just shitting all over the troops and all that, which is not that at all.
Right, of course. Yeah. I mean, they've totally diverted what the actual message of the whole story is and tried to turn it into some, you're disgracing a stupid fucking idea. Like, it's all it is a stupid, I mean, it's just an idea.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It doesn't have, and when you start putting ideas in front of people, that's fucked up, man. Like, he's trying to bring light something that's actually happening to people. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's so up in arms about an idea. It's like the weirdest thing in the world to me. I can't even comprehend it.
Well, the other weird thing about it is, I mean, I don't know if you've heard anybody talk about it. Like, you know when they started actually having the players on the field for the national anthem, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen all the stories about this.
2009.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like in the 50s and 60s when America was great. It's not like they were all standing there at the national anthem, attention to the national anthem. Like, this is a new thing. And it's the result of an ad campaign. Like,
right.
There was a push to, like, get all rah-rah about the military and the U.S. and the flag. Good Lord. It's like when people are like, we are one nation under God. It's like, well, we weren't until the 50s.
Right.
Like, that came about as a result of the fucking Red Scare.
Right, right.
Like, they did not have under God in the original pledge, but people, good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, people don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore in this country.
But, I mean, I do, again, I do kind of like the time when we, yeah, elementary school, I guess, when we would stand there and pledge the flag.
Right. I think it's a great idea, you know, as far as giving structure to, like, kids as they're growing up. But when you become an adult and you realize that there are a couple of things in this world, there's objects, there's people, and then there's fucking words and ideas, and like, I don't know, man, it's just gotten away from caring about the people at all. Yeah. Really. Like, yeah. That's like they want to change the narrative, they being just about everybody. Yeah. To take it away from the fact they're trying to bring the light, inequality in the society, on a broad spectrum, specifically police brutality, but that's a symptom of a really much bigger problem. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to even think about that.
Yeah. But also, I mean, given the choice, me personally, like, I really like nonviolent protest. I think they're very effective. Like, one of my favorite protests ever was that one after, I think it was after the cops, the cop walked along the line of students that were sitting there with their arms locked on the sidewalk and just casually, like, bear sprayed them with the OC spray. Do you remember that one?
Right, yeah, I do.
There was a protest after that where the president of the university was leaving her office. And I think we may have talked about this on the show before, but she's leaving her office and there's somebody with a camera phone next to her and she walks out and it's dark and the students had just lined the streets from her office to where her car was and nobody said anything. They just stood there and stared at her.
Right.
And it's like to this day, like, I'm getting goosebumps now. Like, it's one of the most moving protests I've ever seen because it's just raw. It's not anger. I mean, obviously those people were pissed about that and the way this cop treated these peacefully protesting students.
Right.
But yeah. I sometimes I do worry when you see something like Charlottesville, when that shit got violent. I mean, somebody drove a car into a crowd and killed a poor girl and hurt a bunch of people. Like, yeah, fuck a violent protest. You can go fuck yourself. But then you also get into the whole thing of, like, sometimes protests have to get violent to jostle things up and to make change, to get people's attention. So.
Wow, yeah. I mean, that you almost get into, like, false flag territory there, you know, where you're like trying to incite some sort of chaos in order to, like, make a point.
Well, I was thinking, I mean, we are, I guess, a constitutional right to peaceably assemble. Like, that's one of our fundamental rights in this nation. But then I was thinking about the fact that, like, when people are marching with guns, like, visible and at hand, like, I think maybe there might need to be a law to address that. Right. Maybe at that point, it's like, you're not
peacefully. There'll be no new gun laws. I'm sorry.
Well, of course not.
we're done making laws about that.
So. But I wonder about, like, that specifically, like, if you show up with guns, with, like, weapons and stuff, but then, yeah, you get into the slippery slope of other weapons, which is, like, I think that the Antifa people are bad about showing up with signs that are very easily converted to, like, bats. Like, that's one of their tactics, is to have something that's like, no, I'm just protesting with this sign. Then all of a sudden they rip the cardboard off and they're like, whap, whap.
I mean, that's smart. That's a multi-tool.
Yeah.
You know, Alton Brown would be very impressed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He doesn't like a single-use tool. I mean, who does?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why you do it the butt and the vagina.
Oh, of course.
You can't have it doing one thing.
The penis is the original multi-tool, yeah.
Right.
You can do all sorts of stuff with that. you can remove waste from your body. You can rehydrate.
Yeah.
You can dice
tomatoes with it.
It's a little pleasure knob. You can brain small creatures with it. You can use it as a weapon.
You can like pretend it's a joystick and you're playing a video game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You imitate a flying squirrel.
You can do the goat.
You can ask people what time it is.
You can do all kinds of things.
Brown loves penises, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, who doesn't? Let's be honest.
I guess overall, like, what Kaepernick was doing to begin with, I mean, I can see what he's doing, but it's also kind of like a vague protest. I think he had said, like, I'm not going to stop protesting until, I don't know exactly. I don't know. I can't remember the exact quote about, like, I don't know if he's just striving for equality. I mean, I think there's an aspect of it where it's wanting black people to be treated the same by cops. And I mean, I think he's got a good point on that, but.
Right. And like, how are we going to measure that?
You know, yeah.
It's like, yeah. Cause there's always going to be assholes. It seems like, any side of any issue. So, I don't know. I'm all for it. I would kneel. I love this country. I love the fact that we're free, and I appreciate the people that actually have done the fighting. Oh, yeah. Because I haven't, for sure. But they're fighting for the right to be able to do that, no doubt. And you know, everything's. If I thought kneeling would bring light to a subject that would help people, fuck yeah, fuck that. I would do that all day over a silly idea like standing for an anthem that somebody wrote a long time ago. Well, but it was after the War of 1812. Is that what where the rockets red glare?
I think so. I'm trying to remember. I think
Francis Scott Key.
Yeah, I can't remember really the whole history of it. I was looking at something about it a while back, and I think like he maybe have rehashed an older song that he wrote or something. Like he kept reusing the same tune.
I don't think that he had anything to do with the actual song. He just wrote the poem.
Oh, just the lyrics?
Francis Scott Key.
Gotcha.
I believe so, and it wasn't turned to the national anthem until
1984.
Was it after the Civil War?
I'm not sure.
That would be something that we could probably Google, but you could send us the answer on Facebook at Facebook/Armageddon After Party.
Yes.
Yeah, just go ahead and send us a message or send it straight to either Dick Loverboy on Instagram. It's hard to send messages on Instagram, but you can do it. And you know, you could send it to old Gerald Importante over here on the Twitter sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Or us at After Party Pod. You know, whatever.
I've got a hole in my pants.
Okay.
And not the holes that normally should be there. The two-leg holes and the waist hole and then my butthole.
Yeah. And the flap in the back for, you know, releasing things out of said butthole.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, I went to the Home Depot today and I was coming out from the back. I was trying to get some plumbing supplies and I heard a dog barking, like a little pissant dog. And I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, oh, that's weird. Somebody brought a dog into Home Depot. And so I saw this old white-haired gentleman, kind of heavy-set guy. He had a couple of dogs in his golf cart? Shopping cart. So I don't think anything of it. I check out. I walk outside. This man has preceded me out the door. And he's got these two dogs on, like, not a retractable leash or, like, a short leash. Just, like, 15 to 18 feet of, like, of rope. And I was
did
like,
he just bought there at Lowe's?
No. I think he brought them in on the road. But I mean, I don't notice it first, but like he's obviously having trouble. Like they don't retract. He's like trying to wind the rope up and like draw the dogs in. But they're these little like I don't know what they were. They were groomed. They were all like shaved, and then they had little stupid hair heads or whatever.
Okay, a hair head dog. Okay.
Yeah, typical. You know, your average Portuguese hair head. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm walking out with my shit, and I go to pass him, and one of the dogs kind of just runs up at me, and I was like, oh, friendly dog or whatever, and I do what I do with dogs, which is like just present the back of my hand. I don't know why I do this. I've never read this anywhere, but I just it's like I'm not going to grab the dog. I just put the back of my hand out, and like he walked up and kind of looked at it for a little bit. I was like, oh, cute little doggy, and nothing happened, and so I went to walk away, and then I feel a fucking tug on the back of my right calf of my pants. This little piece of shit dog waited until my back was turned and fucking attacked me. Like, latched onto my pants and, like, gave it a good tug. And I just turned around and the dog let go then. And I just looked at the man. I was just like, Jesus. And he
said, shouldn't pay attention to it, man. Should just ignore my dog.
No, I think he was just confused. I don't know.
He's just confused in general.
He appeared to be. I don't know. He didn't have his shit together at all. Like,
but he was still. He bought stuff from Lowe's though, or was he just walking these dogs around Lowe's with with the rope but not buying anything.
I didn't see if he actually bought anything. I didn't think he may have. I think he may have had a bag of stuff in his hand, and then he was also
just a bunch of aluminum cans that he brought from outside.
Yeah, just just garbage and twigs that he's gathered, cigarette butts. Yeah, from the parking lot.
I thought some ropes around him, and they're mine now.
But I was just like, Jesus, and then walked to my car. And then that was the point where I looked down and realized it actually put a hole in my slacks. And
oh, motherfucker. Fuck those dogs. Did you kick it? You should have kicked it.
I wanted to. Dude. When I got back to the car, I realized, like, and I didn't even have a particularly bad day, but I got in the car and I had a thought, which I don't recall ever really having, which is, like, I really want to murder that dog. Like, I could just see myself. And this, if it had happened like real time, then maybe it would have been not acceptable. But if I had just turned around and immediately stomped the dog, that would have been, it would have been terrible. I shouldn't have, there's no way I could have done that.
You're probably putting it out of its misery if you kill it. Let's be honest. Living with that crazy person, ties a rope around his neck and calls it a leash.
Yeah. But going to the car and, like, then returning to the scene and then killing the dog then, or at least just kicking the dog, like, just punting it.
Yeah. Yep. You just punt it and, you know, you give it a fighting chance.
But then I was like, part of me wanted to pull up and just be like, hey, your dog just ruined my pants, and just see how the man reacted.
Yeah. I'm going to need about $75, asshole. I'll take one of those dogs in lieu of payment, though. It's really cute.
Not the little piece of shit one.
But yeah, but not the one that bit me. You got to kill that motherfucker.
The other one that didn't. Well, that was part of it too. And I was just like, I guess there is part of me that's just like when, I don't know, when animals in movies and stuff, when they're like, oh, he's got a taste for human blood. He's got to be put down. Like, yeah, he just attacked a human. We've got to kill that dog.
I mean, that's what they do, you know, in the real parts of town where that guy been hanging out. But tying ropes around dog.
The bad thing is I will just continue to wear these pants until this hole is just blatantly noticeable.
Oh, yeah. They're nice pants. You can't, you know, it's just a little. You need to get one of those iron patches and you do it on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Get it to hold together.
And then take that iron and just bash that little fucking dog's head in. Yeah,
fucking. Just take it out of its misery. Probably hadn't eaten and how. It was trying to get some.
They were well fed. They were, sure? I think, if I had to guess.
Are you sure they weren't like distended bellies like you see on those videos?
No, they were little chunky dogs. And they were like professionally groomed, I think. So I think of all the things that are in this man's life, his dogs are.
Fuck that guy. What the fuck? That's white privilege if I've ever seen it.
But then the contradiction of not having them on a short leash or a retractable leash, but just using like a length of rope. But at the same time, like putting the money into keeping your dogs fed and groomed.
Maybe it was somebody else's dog that he stole. That's what I'm saying.
It's very possible.
He stole those dogs. You should have fucking, you grab that dog and you shake it.
What if he was a murderer?
What if he still is a murderer?
Well, that's what I'm saying. What if he is a murderer? What if he stole those dogs from his victims? Like, I was that close to just being murdered. What's that? What if that's how he lures his victims in? He just stands outside of the Home Depot.
He's like, I'm sorry. I can mend those pants for you. Come on. I have a sewing machine in my van over here.
Mm-hmm. My God, that would be crazy. He's just like, come with me. I'll get those pants fixed up just right.
You just need to step inside this van and take your pants off, mister. I don't know what kind of weird voice I'm doing. Somebody who's a serial killer, apparently.
So what if me being a pussy and not confronting this man, what if it saved my life?
Dude, I think you found your calling. You're to always be a pussy when it comes to, like, weird-ass crazy people.
Well, I generally am. I mean, I avoid eye contact with homeless people. Like, I have a strict no eye contact policy.
Like before they ask you for money, you're just like trying to make sure that they don't ask you for money.
It depends on if I'm in a car or not. If I'm in the protection of my car, I'll stare at homeless people sometimes. But just on this, well, it's not homeless people. It's crazy people. Like I won't look a crazy person in the eye because you just don't want to draw that attention. I don't think that's a puss maneuver.
You can tell the difference between crazy and like on drugs or drunk or.
Could be one and the same. I mean, I think I'm using crazy in its absolute broadest terms. Yes, but like an angry, aggressive, drunk person, also, I'm not going to make eye contact with that person.
Okay, well, how do you know if they're angry or aggressive if you're not, like, looking at them?
Well, you can look at them. You just, if they look at you, you have to just, nope, quickly, like, oh, I'm looking at you.
Convert. No, I think you stare right through them. That's what I do. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm looking through you to that shit that's happening right behind you. You don't even exist to me. That's like, might have been the meanest thing I've ever, like, thought in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I don't hate you. I just feel nothing towards you. You're nothing to me.
Oh my God.
Jesus, man.
I don't know where that came from.
Just you just staring down a dog like you were nothing. You piece of shit.
You fucking, don't even fucking matter.
Just fucking pick you up, snap your goddamn neck.
And nobody would even care because you suck.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you know, that's what it's like to walk around being me.
Just full of murderous rage.
Just one of these days.
Speaking of murderous rage.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus Christ, Las Vegas. Did y'all, I don't know if that happened since the last time y'all recorded. Good Lord, man.
Holy shit, no. Yeah, that was, what, last Friday?
I can't even remember.
Or it might have been Thursday night. Mm-hmm. After we recorded. Not to date ourselves, but no, we haven't talked since then. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
59 people killed.
Yeah, I think it's 58, 59, somewhere in there.
Over 200 injured.
Yeah.
Single shooter, apparently.
That's what it appears to be. From everything I've seen, except for my Uber driver in Baltimore, he believes that ISIS was responsible for this.
Oh, right, right, right.
He's like, that guy didn't do this alone. There's no way.
Right.
I was like, what? He's like, the Philippines, strong ISIS presence. I was like, what are you? I wasn't making the connection at all.
And he's like, that's where his wife is.
Yeah, yeah.
Or his girlfriend.
I think the girlfriend's Filipino, yeah. So he's apparently, he thinks maybe she's some sort of a, maybe this guy's some sort of a sleeper. I'm not sure.
Maybe she came to the States and, like, gave him his trigger word. And, it, like, he's on autopilot at this point.
Just Manchurian candidate shit.
Holy shit.
No, I mean, okay, I'm going to start with my disgusting reaction that I had to this, which I'm ashamed of. I'm thoroughly ashamed of. And then there's another reaction that I don't like that wasn't me. But the first one was like when the news hit, I can't remember exactly when I first saw it. It was just like, holy shit, somebody went ballistic and murdered a lot of people. And like on the tails of man, that's fucking horrible, was I'm not going to look at Facebook for several days. Like, I don't want to, I mean, that was weird that like, that was one of the first things that popped into my head. It's like, I don't want to hear any gun control shit. I don't want to hear any guns rights shit.
Right.
I just, And then it pretty immediately snapped back and was just like, no, this is a fucking absolute crisis. And like, this is not what anybody should be thinking about it.
My first thought was, oh, thank God he's white.
Oh God. Well, there were, I did see an interview with, I think it was with a black guy, and he said that was one of his first thoughts, is like, please don't let this guy be black or brown, essentially.
Right.
Don't let them be Muslim. I mean, good Lord.
That's so crazy, because they can't really find any kind of motive, or he just lost his shit one day and like went and took all of his guns and used them all.
Well, I don't think he took all of them. Like I think they found like there's still guns at the house or whatever. But see, that's okay. Well, let me finish out the other thing a minute ago before I lose that thought. The other crazy response that I saw like from others, not necessarily from me, was the weird thing where people are like, why would he shoot up a country music concert? That's conservative like guns rights people. Why would he shoot them? And it was like, or like, I think somebody from CBS or something got fired by like tweeting or making a comment about not really feeling bad, because that was probably like conservative people that voted for Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
But that thing worries me. Like this whole, the fact that even like when this tragedy happened, that should kind of draw people together. Obviously it doesn't. But when that happened, like people just drop into their weird tribal way of thinking.
Right.
And I mean, then you find out later that like, he's not targeting conservatives, you fucking assholes. Like he just wanted to shoot a bunch of people in a crowd.
Right.
And like, apparently he'd also looked at Lollapalooza and one other gathering, I think, where there was just going to be a shit ton of people.
Right. Oh yeah. What was the other one?
I can't recall which one it was, but that's one thing about it too. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole this past weekend, like watching some of the videos and stuff from it, as much of the camera phone footage and all that as I could find.
I haven't watched any of it.
Oh, it's fucking, it's brutal. I mean, obviously it's a man just shooting into a crowd of people. I mean,
right.
It's exactly as horrible as you would think it would be. And it's the thing that I did take away from it was like, it could have been so much worse than it was.
Yeah.
Like, cause that's the thing. They keep going back to like, oh, this was a well-planned attack. This was well-planned. It's like, no. I mean, there wouldn't have been like the number of pauses, the long pauses between the magazines or whatever. Like he wasn't a trained shooter. Like he didn't put any effort into like actually learning how to shoot, and the bump stock shit, the way he was shooting, it's inaccurate and it's a horrible way of shooting. It doesn't matter if you're just firing into a crowd, but like, I do feel like if this guy had planned this out a little bit better and like just had the guns laid out, fully loaded, ready to go, and just shoot, drop one gun, shoot, drop another gun, and just keep on going, I feel like he could have murdered so many more people than he actually did.
It'll be interesting to see, like, after all the forensic evidence comes out, like how many shots he actually took. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to see really what happened. I guess they probably have an idea from shells and stuff in apartment or hotel room at this point. But, oh, wow, what a fucking crazy thing. Yeah. And it just seems at this point like it was just some fucking crazy guy. He just snapped.
That's what I keep falling back on. Like people are trying to find some agenda, some motive, some something. And I keep going back to, as fucking cheesy as it sounds, and I apologize for this, but the line that Michael Caine delivers in Batman about some people just want to watch the world burn.
Right.
Like, for whatever reason, this guy just decided, like, I'm just going to fuck up a lot of people today.
Right.
And there might not. I mean, it's kind of like some of the motives of some of the serial killers. Like, I mean, there are certain ones where you can trace it back to like one event or what the way the person was raised or their relationship with their mother or their father or whatever.
Right.
But then there are some that it's just like, no, they just wanted to like deliver mayhem and murder and just horrible catastrophe. I mean, they did it like one-on-one and in small situations. This guy took the guns and decided to come up on high and murder as many people as possible. God, I hope it's not Ian Edwards I'm sorry. Shit, I confused two black comedians. I apologize for that. I'm going to find the guy's name so I don't attribute this, but he made a weird point. He's like, what if, because there's the story about the guy's father being a bank robber, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. He comes from a line of criminals.
Well, no, he's like, what if this guy was like just a sociopath who for some reason was trying to like outdo his father?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've heard that for sure. Like, that's crazy to think. And like, but not beyond the realm of like, who doesn't want to like, you know, please their dad or do what their dad did better than they did?
Yeah. You know, like, it was Alonzo Bowden is the comic's name. He's the one that kind of came up with that. I was listening to him on the Rogan show. They were talking about it a little bit.
Right. But I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah.
As a criminal profiler, I myself, I mean, I,
amateur criminal profiler sleuth.
Right. I agree with that line of reasoning. So,
yeah. But, I mean, that's one of the crazy things about it, too, is there may not have been much that could have been done to prevent it. Like, the guy didn't have a mental health history. Like, he passed all of his background checks when he was buying these guns. People are focused on the bump stock thing, which I still I'm worried that people are overly focused on that, because to me it's not a thing. It's not bump stocks. Like, it's a novel thing that most people haven't heard of, but like, you can shoot that way without a bump stock. Like, you can just shoot a gun, a semi-automatic gun like that.
Yeah. Just pull the trigger really fast.
Well, pull the trigger really fast, but it's a way like where you put forward pressure on the left hand, you push forward with that, and then pull back with the right, and basically the gun just goes back and forth and rattles off your shoulder. Right. It's a horribly inaccurate way of shooting, but like you don't need the stock to actually make that happen. Right. What this guy had that I think you could make a very valid argument that you don't ever need for home defense or hunting or any shit that people want to justify is ridiculously high capacity magazines.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was, I need to see something from an investigation of like how many shots he was doing at one time, but like he really was just holding the thing down and just emptying a clip out. And I mean, it had to be like at least like 40 or 50 rounds at a shot. It may have been more than that, but
right.
I need to see some actual investigation on that. I'm kind of curious, but that's the issue. Like, it's not the bump stocks that everybody's so obsessed with. It's like how many bullets he was able to shoot at one shot, you know?
Right. You need all those bullets if you're going to overthrow the government that's trying to oppress you, John. You know what? They got nuclear weapons, man.
Why are you trying to piss off Mother if he even still listens anymore?
I'm just saying. That's the whole reason we have that law in the Constitution. So, like, we can't let the government, take over our whole lives.
I was thinking about that. Like when you do truly break down all the different Second Amendment justifications, and that's one, they're like, I mean, even if you go back to V for Vendetta, where like the people shouldn't be afraid of the government should be afraid of the people. And even like ultra conservative people get on board to this like weird liberal ass movie of this fighting against ultra conservatism.
Right.
You can't overthrow the government with your fucking AR-15. No. I mean, it's not happening. Like, do you really think if you have an AR and like enough bullets that you would actually stand a chance against our government with fucking tanks and stealth bombers and drones and like 50 caliber sniper rifles where they can just hit you from just miles away and blow your fucking body in half?
That's why we need to be able to have tanks, John.
Do you think it's going to matter if you have a 9 scope and a 30 or a 40 or a 50 round clip? It's just not. That argument just falls apart so bad.
Yeah, there are many arguments that do, and I like guns. I enjoy playing with them, and that's what I do with a gun. I just play with it. I don't hunt. Although I'm not opposed to the idea, at all. Actually, I think that people should hunt, as opposed to buying food from a grocery store.
Yeah.
But, I just don't find any use for them in my own personal life. And I feel really like lucky that I don't feel like I need it. You know, I'm totally understand there are parts of the world, maybe parts of the United States even where, you need one. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that I don't. So it becomes a really weird thing when I start trying to, I don't know, justify my thoughts on the whole goodness gracious, I can't even fucking speak anymore.
Well, no, I mean, I'll completely agree with you. I like guns. Guns are fun. I respect guns. I was taught to respect them. Like, my dad did a fantastic job of training us to shoot. Like, he wasn't a gun nut by any chance. He's more of just a hunter who also grew up with guns himself. Like, he's not one of the so many people in the U.S. that have like 100 guns or whatever.
Right.
But, that's the thing. Like, you need to kind of address that. Like, they are fun, and it's good to have them. And most people that have them don't cause mayhem with them.
Right.
But, yeah, some of the arguments for the Second Amendment, yeah, it just doesn't stand up. But at the same time, it's like, people go to Australia and talk about the fact that they, like, did the gun buyback and essentially just got rid of all the assault rifles and locked up everything else, essentially, as far as weapons goes. Everything's registered. And they're like, oh, they haven't had a mass shooting in years. And it's like, that's a noble idea, but, like, I don't think it would work in the United States. Like, there's...
I mean, they try to do it on small scales. They do gun buybacks and stuff. And You know, there's just so many, and there's like even more and more every fucking day. And even now, like, I guess it, I think the market is still the biggest here for like, guns that are made with no like, serial numbers and stuff made overseas, and they get shipped in. And I hate to use this as my source for this, I mean, I don't hate it, but it was a Vice.
I thought you were going to say you were reading some Wikipedia article.
No.
I was like, as much as it pains me to reference that garbage website.
Yeah, that's all just a bunch of bullshit.
No, Vice, I don't think they have a reputation for inaccurate reporting. I mean,
No, I don't. It just seems real like hipster to me right now.
Oh, yeah.
But they had a whole show about the illegal gun trade and like guns being made in in the jungle and some island in the South Pacific and making its way to America, where people can use them to kill people and not have to have it traced back to them, or maybe they're a criminal and they can't buy one legally.
But see, that's another thing about this whole thing that kind of needs to be addressed is, like, obviously this is a tragedy and this is not taking away from anybody that was killed or anybody that was affected by this horrible shit that happened in Vegas. But like, so I think 90% of gun murders in the U.S. are handguns. I mean, people like to get up in arms about an assault rifle or what they perceive to be an assault rifle.
Right.
But yeah, handguns kill just astoundingly more numbers of people in the U.S. than any long gun at all. I mean, just including like semi-automatic assault rifles, what do you call them? AR-15s, rifles.
Hey. Oh, no, you're so right about that. And now a higher percentage of those each year are these unmarked, no serial number that can't be traced other than with a a fingerprint, if there's a fingerprint on there. But it's a one use, gun that's made for contract killing.
Oh God.
It was pretty interesting the documentary about it, like watching them like forge these all the different parts of a gun and like a crude ass, hut.
Yeah.
And like, hand filing everything down to make it all fit and work and have good action and everything. And then like, there's I guess one person who gets paid like a whole lot of money, who's the person who has to like test fire them for the first time, cause they never know if it's just going to blow up in their hand.
You only get two fuck ups on that one. Like, and then it's just you with nubs. I guess they could put little hooks on the end and have you keep, Jesus, man. Well, that was when I went down that rabbit hole too, watching those videos. One kind of amazing thing about it was in how many of the videos people didn't think it was actual gunfire.
Like fireworks or something like that.
Yeah, there's a couple, because this was like just a string together, like 20 minutes of different like camera phone footage and stuff like that. And yeah, there were several where people were like, oh, it's fireworks. We're okay. It's fireworks. There was one where one dude's like, that's coming over the sound system. That's not a real gun. That's coming through the speakers. You can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
There's one that is truly amazing. It's, I think it's from like a hotel room window. It's from somewhere higher up, and they're filming down, and people have started to clear out. Like, people have moved out of the way. And there's a group of dudes just standing there chilling. Like, no lie. It's like 8 or 10 guys. One of them's got a fucking cowboy hat. One of them is hitting a vape pen and just, like, blowing smoke up in the air. And there is machine gun fire, clearly machine gun, or what sounds like machine gun fire, going on. And they're just chilling out. And then finally a bullet hits right next to their feet. And then they all dive, like they get down, and that's the end of the video.
But holy shit.
They were just standing there like you or I would at a concert. Like, I mean, and the shit had been going on. Like I said, people had started to clear out. But, I mean, that was one scary-ass thing about it, too, is people, because they didn't want to stampede, and it seemed like they did a good job of not doing that. But because of that, everybody hit the deck. but you're just all laying in this mass of people, and people knew that if they got up and tried to run, you're just stepping over bodies, and so nobody could move, and there's just people freaking out, and oh, it's disturbing stuff to watch. Oh,
fuck.
But yeah, just a mass of people, and how do you get them out that quickly? Good Lord.
That's scary as fuck.
Yeah.
Golly, I don't know how you watched all that stuff, because I don't want... I guess the imagination could probably make it worse than actually seeing it, but I don't want that in my mind.
It's not... I mean, I'm not a person that watches like really graphic videos. I've watched a few in my life, and that's the reason I don't watch really graphic videos, is because they stay stuck in my head for so long. So, I mean, there wasn't anything close up as far as people getting hit. I mean, there were a few where you could hear bullets hitting pretty close around them. Mm. But it wasn't anything horribly graphic. It was just... I mean, as you would imagine, like a crowd of people trapped, not knowing what to do, the uncertainty, the fear. I mean, people were getting shot around them.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff to watch.
Do you feel like the cry for gun regulation has been like not as intense, or like at the very least maybe more muffled? Considering like what a fucking huge tragedy this is, and like just comparing it to that, like something like Sandy Hook and you know other tragedies in the more recent past.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, on Facebook, I've seen people like they're like, we need gun control, but then they won't elaborate. Like, it's like, give me specifics on what we need for that. Like,
right.
And the idea of it, yeah, it's very appealing. If there was anything that the government could have done to stop this, which I'm sure there was and there is, it should probably be entertained. But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Rush Limbaugh got in a shit ton of trouble. I think apparently on one of his episodes recently, he said something about this being the price of freedom, and he said it in a very unapologetic way. But, like, as things stand now, they're... was very little that could have been done to stop this. Like,
right,
everything up until the point where he's shooting out a window into a crowd of people was really, really legal. I mean, you can limit the number of guns that somebody can purchase. There can be, I mean, I guess people are talking about possibly that, like, if you purchase more than X amount of guns in an X period, then there should be red flags. But it's like, what? I mean,
what about I know this would be like a ridiculous, and there might already be a law about this, but like a law about how many guns you can transport at one time.
Yeah. But that's the thing that the guns rights people always fall back on, is that criminals don't respect laws. I mean,
right.
You can't make enough laws to actually stop people from engaging in criminal behavior. I mean, that's one thing that one person said on Facebook or something, like, you know, meth is illegal, right?
Right.
No, it's like, that doesn't stop meth.
Yeah, no, you're right. However, if you get pulled over for any number of reasons and you're on meth, most of the time they catch you. And if you're a crazy person that's fucking driving around with a bunch of guns, like, if they for some reason were to see guns in your car, if there's not a law about how many you can transport, then like, it's like, all right, well, let this guy go.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't know. I'm not
that
saying
just, like, that would be a hard one to enforce. Like, I mean, it's just, it's a workaround. Like, you would just have to figure out some way, because there would have to be exceptions, because you've got people that transport guns to gun sellers, gun shops. And so you would have to have an exception for truckers and stuff that carry a massive amount of firearms. And so, I mean, there would be loopholes. There'd be workarounds on it.
Right.
And, I mean, the likelihood of, like, you actually catching somebody and them just having, like, one gun visible and just being like, is that one of, like, 40 guns that you have here, sir? What's going on here? See, that's the thing that really rocks people as far as the uncertainty of it and not knowing why this guy did it is it causes you to put yourself in that situation. Not the situation of the shooter, but the fact that, like, it's something I've thought about. Like, you can have an alarm at your house. You can have all sorts of, you can have guns all through your house. I mean, you can have, take as many measures as you possibly can. If somebody really wants to kill your ass, there's a good chance they're going to possibly be able to make that happen. Like, no matter what you do. And I think that's what freaks people out about this so bad, is like that somebody could just, I mean, hell, somebody could load a truck up with fertilizer and park it outside of your workplace and just blow you up.
Right.
I mean, people could get guns, some sort of guns, and kill you, whether they're illegally or legally obtained, or I don't know. It's just it's a kind of, I guess it's a morbid thought and horrible thing to really focus on.
But I think it's a really, like, valid point to bring up. I mean, there's going to be a point when, and it already, we might already be there, where it doesn't even fucking matter. Like, you really don't have any control over what somebody else is going to do. You're not always going to be prepared. Sometimes you try things that work, and they work. And that's the exact same thing that happens with a gun. You don't, you know, notice very few people that are out there that are like trained and ready to take on an intruder or,
yeah.
You know, so you're just as, easily hit them over the head with a frying pan or the, you know, like, kick them in the face or throw your alarm clock at them.
That would be the worst. Not realizing it's still plugged in. That would just be stupid. You would feel like a dummy.
Yeah. And it's one of those old ones that just has the flip numbers on it. And then you get really embarrassed. You're like, well, that wasn't even going to hurt him if I threw it at him anyway. But then you're dead, so it doesn't matter.
Do you ever remember an alarm clock that, like, you, I guess it was like a travel alarm clock, but it would, it's like a trifold thing. You would, I don't know if you ever saw it. It looks like a little flat thing, like maybe leather on the outside, metal, almost like a piece of, not a piece of jewelry, but something. Anyway, you popped it open.
A piece of men's jewelry?
A piece of men's jewelry. But yeah, you would pop it open and the clock face was in there and it would fold out and there's like a little triangle there. Like, you'd have your own alarm clock that you would take with you as you traveled. I guess before they had alarm clocks everywhere that you traveled. I may have seen the only one of these in existence. I'm not sure.
Like a tiny foldable alarm clock.
Yeah, yeah. You would take it and it's a little, like clock face. It's not digital. It's actually got the...
It has the bells. It's ringing bells.
I think it's probably got alarm bells on it, yeah.
Like, ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. Like that?
Pretty much, yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Did it have one or two knockers?
Wait. I don't recall knockers on this thing at all.
If there's bells, there's knockers.
There's gotta be knockers on the bells. Yeah,
I mean, it's right. Not, those bells just aren't like making themselves vibrate on their own.
I'm guessing this is an old school thing where there's two bells with a knocker between them. Like, you remember the old school alarm clocks that were just round face and there were two bells on top?
Right.
And just the hammer would go back and forth between the two bells.
I do remember those.
Oh yeah.
And you're saying this was a miniature fold-up version of one of those?
I'm thinking that may have been internal. That structure that was on top may have been inside, but similar, like where there was a little hammer back and forth between two possibly discordant bells.
You think it was actually hitting bells, or was it maybe hitting just some tubes that were in there?
It sounded belly. I think it was more belly than tubey.
You know, you could have just said they were tubular bells.
I've never thought about tubular bells before.
The bells. Tubular bells.
Which song is Tubular Bells? Because all I've got in my head, I think, is the Exorcist theme. I had an instrumental magic CD, a double. It was actually a two CD set.
Oh, this is on the Pure Moods album, Tubular Bells was.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm trying to remember what Tubular Bells was. I can't remember how it went.
Oh my gosh, am I going to have to try to look this up on...
Are we going to get busted for some sort of a copyright infringement? Or maybe if we just play like a second of it on YouTube.
Maybe.
I don't know. Let's see what we have. Because Instrumental Magic had our friend Jeremiah, one of his favorite songs, which was, I think it's The Horse?
C'est joie.
Tubular Bells Part 1. Good Lord, this is a 25 and a half minute song. Oh no, there's an ad. Let's not give advertising dollars to anybody. Wait, here we go.
I'll have no internet.
Yeah, there it is.
There we go. Sounds kind
That's not The Exorcist, is it? Dun dun. It comes in a little bit. Anyway.
You're blowing my mind with that right now.
I'm glad we got that straightened out.
That's Tubular Bells, by the way. Tubular Bells, ladies and gentlemen.
Tubular Bells.
Tubular Bells, Tubular Bells, Tubular Bells, Tubular Bells, Tubular Bells.
I can't find the Exorcist theme song. When are you going to kick in Tubular Bells? I didn't realize it was so long.
Oh, it's the buildup is...
It is the Exorcist theme song. All That's right. fucked up. How'd they get away with that shit? I hope Mike Oldfield got credit for his Tubular Bells, his Exorcist ripoff of Tubular Bells.
Well, obviously it's the same fucking song.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. There's the Michael Myers Halloween music.
Okay, that's enough. I apologize for that. Oh, speaking of mother, we went out to see new baby the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's a cutie.
Oh.
He's a snuggler.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, he's cute. He stays asleep like a good baby should.
Oh, that's good. That's a good baby.
But while we were out there, for some reason they were watching old episodes of Perfect Strangers, which I haven't seen. There was a couple of things I forgot about this show. One was the very elaborate work set. Like it was like a, it was almost like a stage set. Like there's a, his desk is like in a very wide open space. I think it was a newspaper. I think he was a reporter, right?
Yeah, sure.
Larry Appleton.
Yeah, I think it's been a while, but I think that's right.
But yeah, there was like a second level and like a stairs that wrapped around. It really did look like a very elaborate like high school stage, like musical setup. I don't know.
That's cool.
But I forgot about how much physical humor was on that show.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen it, for sure. I mean, probably since I was like 12, 13?
Go back and watch a few episodes. Also, the theme song is very, very uplifting.
Standing tall,
yep,
on the wing of my dreams.
Yep. Very, very just
rising
positive.
Rising for.
But no, there's the end where they come up out of the they're in Chicago, so I guess they come up. Wait, Chicago's got the L train. I don't know, where were they coming up out of, where they're wearing their tuxedos and they're going over to the Chicago theater. And Balky has his weird like ethnic looking tuxedo.
There's L trains and there's also a subway.
Yeah, you're right, there is. I've been to Chicago. Good call.
I've never been to Chicago, but that's just, you know, they work in conjunction.
Not gonna lie, it's a pretty hip town.
Yeah?
It's a happening place to be.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it like Athens?
It's bigger. It's bigger and with more architecture and more things in general.
Oh, like people? Because I'm not
lots of people.
I'm not really down with that.
It's got rivers running through the middle of the town.
Ooh. Just like that Robert Redford movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where that was set?
The Natural?
No. A river runs through it.
It's a Robert Redford movie? I thought it was a Brad Pitt movie.
It's both.
Oh. Who was the other brother? You don't know, do you?
Aidan Quinn.
Really?
I'm going with Aidan
Good
Quinn.
Good fucking pull, sir. I think you might be right. I think Aidan Quinn might be in The Natural. A river runs through it.
Well, let's see what Siri has to say about it.
Sorry, I had to fast forward through that. Oh, big mistake. Who played the dad?
And a river runs through it?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't Robert Redford?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it was Robert Redford.
The Reverend McLean, was that his name?
Oh, no, wait. Dad? Wasn't the dad the guy from Top Gun?
Was Tom Skerritt in Top Gun? Was he in Top Gun?
Tom Skerritt.
I'm thinking of Michael Ironsides. Was he in Top Gun?
No, it was Robert Redford was their dad, right?
No, Tom Skerritt was their dad. He was the Reverend McLean. Brad Pitt was Paul McLean. And then Craig Schaefer was Norman McLean.
Craig Schaefer. God
damn. Not Aidan Quinn at all.
Oh, that guy.
What movie are you thinking of with Aidan Quinn?
I'm thinking of Legends of the Fall.
Good call. That's it. Is Robert Redford the dad in that?
No, that is... Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Oh. Odin.
Odin, yes. So I've been way off.
Brad Pitt and Aidan Quinn, yeah, they're the brothers on that one. Good call.
Yeah.
Henry Thomas from E.T. fame?
Apparently.
And some woman named Christina Pickles. No.
I guess I'm just thinking of bridges of Madison County when I'm thinking of River and Robert Redford. It was Tom Skerritt that was their dad?
Yes, Tom Skerritt was the dad in River Runs Through It.
All right.
Tom Skerritt, one of the more amazing actors from Steel Magnolias.
And Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. Top Gun, of course. But I mean, I think he's better than Steel Magnolias.
You think so?
He's really Robert's dad. He's married to America's sweetheart, Sally Field. The flying nun herself.
Yeah, Gidget.
Just tease it, make it look like a big brown football helmet.
You know that when I was in elementary school, I don't know, I guess I was either home from school or maybe it was even before I was in school. I could have been like four.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the days before preschool, guys. So... You know, layoff. Anyway, case, I remember being home when we were watching the noon news on TV, like local news at noon, and they always had trivia questions and stuff like that where you call in and win a prize. And one of the questions was about the Flying Nun, or was about Sally Field, and not the Flying Nun. And my mom called in and she got through, and the question was about a Sally Field show, and she said, "Is it Gidget?" and it was Gidget. It was Gidget, and she won. She won the prize. I don't remember at all. I was so young. I just remember that she called in and won. And she said, "Is it Gidget?" And then they replayed it on the news, you know, because it was like, it happened during a commercial break. And they played it played it on the news a few minutes later.
She would be such a meme if that happened now. Like, can you, like, she would be auto-tuned into a song. It's like, "Easy Gidget.
Easy Gidget."
If she would be right up there with the fucker writing the pussy guy, that would be amazing. Or the ain't nobody got time for that lady.
Easy Gidget.
Easy Gidget. Oh, your mom's great, man.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of my favorite, like, early memories of her. You know, back when she was taking care of me at home.
Aw.
I guess that still happens. So you know, it could have been last week.
Well, that's one weird thing about. Never mind. I take that back.
Okay.
I'm about to get myself in a weird situation.
Ooh. Okay. That's, now I'm curious.
God, I'm just falling apart here. I'm trying to get back to like my podcast list of subjects, and I just got into my like to-do list for tomorrow and this weekend. I'm just like, clean the gutters. I don't. So I had a weird moment today.
On the toilet?
It's funny you should mention that, actually. I had to pull into the Esbridge Walmart and take a little bit of an emergency poo.
Okay.
Which...
You chose that as over the Wendy's, I guess.
Yeah. The Walmart's got, there's multiple, a Walmart's got a solid bathroom set up. It's going to be filthy. That's just part of it. That's the trade-off. But you know there's much more likely to be an open toilet for you to take advantage of.
Right.
And
right.
If I'm stopping to take a shit, like, it's there's no room for error. There's no, like, second chances on this one. Like, I'm okay. Shitting in a trash can in the Wendy's lobby if
right.
The fucking door's locked. I mean, this is...
Oh, I get you. Yeah. You just run the hot water and shit in the sink.
But that's not the moment. Anyway, later in the day, I was on the phone with my loving wife and realized that Mrs. Flores also had a moment today where she had to step away from her job and take an emergency shit. Oh.
What did y'all eat last night?
What did we have last night?
I mean, it's gotta be, unless y'all ate breakfast together this morning, then it's gotta be the culprit.
It was tacos, Mexican number one, now that I think about it.
Okay, they're speaking of tacos, Mexican one. Holy shit. Every time I go there by myself, but I do that every once in a while for work. Every time I go there, I have an awful experience by myself. And this last time, which was this past Tuesday, no, this past Monday, I went and I sat down by myself, and I got there right after they opened, basically, and there's like one other group of old ladies that are sitting down in like the little side area that they don't have open all the time. And there's probably 10 elderly ladies down there. and apparently only two servers, one of them is dealing with them and going back and forth, and the one that's dealing with me, I'm like, it's just one of me here. Can I just get my fucking food and eat it and go? And she's taking forever, and I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, like, one of the older ladies from the downstairs area comes up to me. She's like, do you know the Heimlich maneuver?
And like, what?
And I was like, I kind of know what to do, but like, I've never done the Heimlich maneuver before to anybody.
Was she nice and non-urgent like that? No, she's like, excuse me, sir.
Was like urgent. And I was like, okay. And I like came down and like, I came down and there's a lady standing there going,
oh my God.
And like the server, who's this like little lady, she was behind her when I came down there, and she was like, she just backed off. And I was like, the lady's like going, and I got behind her. I've never done the Heimlich maneuver before.
Wait, slow down.
All right.
What? How old was this lady?
First of all, if I had to guess, I would say late 70s.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Maybe early 80s.
Did she smell like decay?
Completely white hair.
No, she was well perfumed. If she was out, like, she probably
completely white hair, but not like really thin, like you're really old and you just like you have no body mass left. Like, she was
just like a frail 70 or like a chunky 70 or what?
She had some meat on her.
Nice.
And so, but like, I positioned myself behind her.
I assumed the position.
And I was like, I've never done this before, but I was like, I don't want to hurt her. I don't know. I don't want to like break her sternum. You know, if you don't do it right.
Dude, you're saving a life. Like, you can't be concerned with a sternum or a few short ribs.
But she's she's just like kind of coughing, and I give her a little whoop. And she didn't like, you know, in the movies when it happens, they cough up, like, and it goes
forcefully ejects out of their mouth. Yeah.
And that didn't happen. And I was like, but she like paused for a moment, and then she started taking breaths, like little small like gasping breaths, and I just rubbed her back, and I was like, you're okay, you know, just take it easy, just slow breath. And like, she slowly started like breathing again. I don't think that I dislodged anything. I don't think I did it right at all. I think that she maybe like maybe it was just hyperventilating a little bit, and like, whatever happened, she just like got back to breathing normally again, and I like ducked the fuck out.
Did you pay your bill, or just did you flee, or what?
No. I just left the scene. I was like, she's okay. And I just left, and there was like I said, there was like 10 old ladies like that were like around this table, and like nobody said anything to me or anything, and I just fucking ducked the fuck out. I gave her like one little squeeze. She started to like get her breath back, but I don't think I did anything other than like maybe like I don't scare her into starting to breathe.
My first thought was, when you said that the food was not forcibly ejected from the mouth, was that this woman's old, like she's been through some shit. She's not sacrificing that food. So like when the chunk came up, she was immediately like, no, I'm keeping that. I'm gonna chew it more. I made the mistake earlier that I won't make again. I will chew it and swallow it properly this time. But then later on, my thought was, you just got punked by a group of like 70-year-old women.
Oh, man.
They just do that. It's like, oh, there goes Sally. And she, every fucking time we take her out, she pulls this shit to just get some young strapping male to just grab her around the backside. And oh, she's like winking at all her friends like, like thumbs up,
dude. I so hope that is so. I hope that's what happened. I so hope that's what happened. Oh my gosh! And like that is a really funny scene that you got there. Holy shit! Because it was weird as fuck. And then I just went back up, like the 3 steps it was back up to my booth.
Yeah.
And I could still see them all down there eating and like. Twice the server that was serving them walked by and was like, thank you so much and everything. And I was like, hey, I don't know that I did anything, but it's no problem at all whatsoever. But not one of those ladies at all, or the lady that happened, not one of them ever came up and said anything to me about it.
Weird.
Yeah, at all. And it was weird. And it was just, I'm glad I didn't want them to. I felt so weird about it. They finally got my food and I ate it as fast as I fucking could and I get the fuck out of there. It was so weird. It was just the weirdest lunch outing. It was like, I maybe saved somebody's life today, but I don't feel like there's any way that could have possibly been what happened.
Or possibly just misread a situation and inserted yourself into something that just didn't, you shouldn't have been there maybe.
No.
But I can't think of how you would, what would be the actual, like.
I feel like I did what I was asked to do. I just don't know if that made any difference in the situation or not. I think she may have just been fine the whole time. And like, maybe all I did was give her a good little gut squeeze. And she's like, she scared her into starting to like breathe normally. I don't know.
You startled an old woman. Yeah. You jump started an old woman with terror. That's amazing. Or she goes home that night. She has a massive amount of lube, and like that's just what she's rubbing one out to.
Oh my gosh! Just
your arms wrapped around her waist.
Please be.
Just your sweet breath just on the back of her neck, just tickling the back of her, one of her ears. Oh my God.
My greatest fantasy would be for that to be true.
And like, some old ladies like stroking one out, just jilling to you.
They just like used the fuck out of me and like were punking me, and now somebody's just diddling their piddle to it.
Oh my God.
Ah,
just dry, please. Just dry as a bone.
I want to be the butt of a fucking joke that gets some old lady off. Yes, that's like an unwitting butt of a joke that just like makes this little old lady's day, and she's like able to just come for hours because of it.
But I also think that like if you actually did, I mean, that makes you a hero essentially, if you're willing to like step into a situation and be part of this old lady's spank bank. I think that's yeah. I think that's commendable. But at the same time, like if you did actually save this woman's life, I think your picture goes on the wall at Taco's, and they're like, this guy always gets 50% off whatever he orders. just for one. He doesn't, it doesn't apply to the entire party, but just whatever he himself is going to consume, 50% off.
That's the thing too, other than like the other server who like just by, as she was walking by back and forth, mm-hmm. like serving these folks, she's like, thank you. And I made no big deal about it. I was like, no problem. Just give me my food and let me eat it and go.
Well, see, the servers I can't speak for. The servers, we've had issues with them in the past. I think we've discussed the fact that, like, there was one incident where, like, for the third time over the course of, like, several weeks when we were trying to order Mexican food, they're like, tacos, Mexican food. And she's like, my loving wife is like, hey, I need a place to go order. And they're like, hold, please. And then they just set the phone down and never pick it back up. And like there was one, like the third time this happened, I was like, fuck this shit, I'm going up there. And like I did, I just put on clothes. I went up there.
You put your clothes on?
Yeah.
Like a gentleman?
Of course. Just walk in, just dick a flapping. Yeah. No, I put on clothes. I put on Crocs, I think. I was probably wearing Crocs. And went up there and I was like, hey, I need to make a to-go order. And they're like, okay. I was like, I think my wife is on the phone that's sitting right there. And they're like, oh. And she was. She was still just sitting there on hold. And the time it took me to drive up there, they had never picked the fucking phone back up.
Oh, my gosh.
But we got everything straightened out there. So my point being, yes, sometimes the serving staff at Tacos leave something to be desired.
No, for sure. But they never mentioned anything at all to me about it afterwards. So I don't know, man. I think it could have been a ploy to get me to like put my, you know, genitalia really near this old lady's, you know, butt.
You can't either. I say either way, you're a goddamn hero.
Can't do the Heimlich maneuver. Okay, first of all, try to do the Heimlich maneuver, but you're like, you're trying to make sure that you don't break their sternum. So maybe you're putting it a little too low.
But you've also, I mean, with an old woman, and this is going to sound a little gross, but I mean, there is some, like, you have to negotiate around some, like, saggy real estate, like, and that might have been part of it. They're like, this old woman's like, oh, yeah, my shit's been pointing directly down for years, and it is at the base of the sternum, and, like, when you were, like, giving a little squeeze, you were giving a little tingle to the old nips there.
Man, maybe that's, I should have just given her a kiss on the neck when I walked over.
Oh, my God, that would have been amazing. You're just like,
you're okay.
Congratulations.
Just start whispering in her ear. You're going to be just fine, baby. Don't worry. I'm gonna put my arms around you. I'm going to make a ball with my fist.
Just talking her through it.
Just right below that chest bone, but that call a sternum.
God, we need a Boys to Men song playing behind this of like, girl.
I'm going to give you a squeeze. That's going to feel so bad, but it's going to feel so good. Mm-mm. Don't worry. You're going to be able to breathe again after I'm done with you. Honey.
You won't breathe.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not going to lie. This may break some of your frail old lady bird bones. We may be putting a short rib through a lung. I mean, this may happen.
Yeah,
but we're definitely going to dislodge that fucking tamale from your throat.
Don't worry. If things go just right, it's not the only bone that's going to get dislodged in this coupling.
Oh, my God. That's not the only bone that's going to be puncturing things, lady. Oh, my God. Again, I go back to it. Either way, whether you're a pawn in some old lady's weird sexual game or whether you actually saved her life, you're a fucking hero in my book. I don't know what the Mexican word for hero is, but you are one and you should be acknowledged. There should be some sort of a day for you where like people in that restaurant put on hats and take Polaroids and there should be drink specials and discounts. All around, in my opinion, I think you need some acknowledgement.
Well, you know, if it'll get me a free chimichanga every once in a while, I'm down for it.
Is a chimichanga like legitimate Mexican food, or is that like a weird made up American thing that they pawn off as Mexican food?
Honest, I have no idea, but that's kind of my go to. I've been for quite a long time. I go for lunch, so chimichanga lunch special.
I mean, it is. It's like a deep fried meat pouch and then smothered in queso, right?
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. It's delicious. But recently I've been getting the four crispy tacos with pastor.
Ooh, crispy tacos. Is that Mexican tacos?
No, go with the crispy tacos, and it's enough. It's just what I need. The fried burrito chimichanga thing, that's a little much for lunch. So four tacos gives me the energy I need to get through the rest of my day.
I recently switched it up. I went for the torta especial, which is pretty delicious. It was like chicken, like two types. There's chorizo, and then there's some other sausage, which I think may have just been chopped up hot dog. Either way, it was delicious. It was so good. The bread was so soft and pillowy. It was quite enjoyable. I ate some last night and then had some more for breakfast and then had that horrendous emergency shit at Walmart later in the day. So maybe not the best meal.
But. So it was the breakfast torta.
But no, I've done the Mexican tacos at Tacos a few times, and they're hit or miss. Like sometimes they taste a little stale, like they've been sitting somewhere too long.
Because of the corn tortilla?
I think maybe sometime their corn tortilla storage is not up to snuff. Maybe there's just
a corn tortilla just fucking tastes stale.
Yeah.
You got to get the...
No, a good corn tortilla, a good Mexican taco is amazing, dude. A good Mexican taco is amazing.
You're fucking talking about Crawford here. Get it together.
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's closer to Lexington now. It used to be Crawford.
Yeah, you're right. A Lexington thing.
They skedaddle out on their lease. Yeah. And change the name of the restaurant slightly.
Number one.
I'm on to you, tacos, Mexican food number one. Change the Facebook page. Tacos Mexican food, no updates since whenever they moved. Tacos Mexican number one, completely different restaurant.
Right. Completely different. All new players.
Same staff, same menu, different location.
Right.
But no, normally I get the, what is it? The not Camarones. Mm. It's like a steak and shrimp dish, but it's that weird thin sliced horse meat steak. Like it's,
I like horse meat steak.
Oh, it's rough. It really is. A lot of gristle, a lot of like fat, a lot of connective tissue.
Yeah, on the steak.
This is not
it gives it all the flavor.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's all about the flavor, not about the chewing experience.
And just fresh caught Georgia shrimp.
Oh,
fresh.
As fresh as Lexington, Georgia can muster.
Some of them pond shrimp.
Ooh. There's some you can get crawfish this far north.
Oh yeah, definitely. But mud bugs?
Oh yeah. Mud bugging it up. Anyway. Any more news in the world?
At the risk of bringing it down a notch.
Bring it down. We gotta
rest in peace, some people. We've got to.
Oh, you're right. There's been some big ones.
Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Playboy.
Killed it for years.
Killed it for years.
Made men jealous.
Most famous for having three girlfriends at one time.
Like a baller. I'm wondering if that weird thing where I could kind of see it, where they stopped doing nudity in Playboy. Like, I can kind of see that they were like, well, maybe we should just market to teenage boys, which is a dumb move when you think about it. I don't think many teenage boys these days are buying magazines of any sort.
That was the reason they took the nudity out?
Well, to me, it was either that, so they could expand their market out to a younger market, I guess, a younger demographic, or it was just a ploy to do like Hustler did back in the, I forgot when it was, that they actually stopped showing nudity for a while because apparently Larry Flint like started going to church or something. I don't know what happened. But then like sometime later on, he went back to showing full on spread beaver.
Okay. I didn't know that Hustler ever did that. I thought it was just an attempt to like legitimize them as more of a, for more of their articles than than the pictures, but they've always had really good articles. So I don't really get it. it's not like they were showing, you know, down the snatch shots or anything.
Well, it got weird when women started shaving off the muff hair. Like they had to show a lot more than they were used to.
Yeah, they just showed like the top third.
Yeah, yeah.
Just give you an idea
of that sweet, sweet beeve.
There are lips down there. There are. You can see the top of them.
Mm-hmm. Noise. That's two noises this episode.
Is it?
Yep. Rest in peace, Tom Petty.
Oh,
who died and then gave us like a weird false start of dying.
Yeah.
That was a strange thing.
That was, is that all media induced, or was that like he actually did, like they pulled the plug and then he didn't die for a while?
I think maybe, I'm not sure. I never got the exact story. My take on it was that maybe they had taken him off life support. He had passed away. Somebody, a source of some sort, had said he had passed away. But then when they went back to that source, somebody was like, oh, we weren't supposed to tell you that. We can't confirm it. So maybe because the weird thing was like people thinking it took him a while to actually die. But no, I think he just died of a heart attack.
Right.
And a really sad one, Ralphie May.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah. I got a text from our buddy Billy Kay. And he was like, not that this is much of a surprise, but rest in peace, Ralphie May.
That was more heart failure?
Yeah, yeah. He had a heart attack.
Well, shit.
Yep.
That is the number one cause of death in the United States.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not going to a concert in Las Vegas?
Too soon?
Way too soon. Sorry.
But hey, no, OJ's out. It's not.
OJ's been released. He's a free man.
He's out.
Juice is loose.
I knew that it was happening in October, but I didn't know that it already happened. And I was actually just talking about that with a coworker today.
Awesome.
But didn't bother to look it up while we were talking about it. We just conjectured. I said, it's supposed to happen this month. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah.
And now it happened. And has he killed anybody yet?
No, as yet, no murders that can be attributed to O.J. Simpson.
Has he, like, held anybody hostage?
Trying to steal back his own merchandise.
Well, I mean, you know.
Oh, he's been playing golf. O.J. Simpson photographed golfing after prison release. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good thing to do. Get to spend most of your day outside. Right.
Not getting approached by people for oral sex?
Not.
I mean, maybe. I don't know what kind of golf course he's actually on. He can't be on the best golf course, right? He doesn't have that much money left.
He doesn't?
Wait, is Palm Beach in Florida?
There's one in Florida and there's one in California.
Because I think that was one of the things I heard about. There's some weird aspect of the law in Florida. I can't imagine that with like their fucked up stand your ground laws. But there was something about Florida that enabled him to actually like keep some of his money. Like I think in California, like a shit ton of his money had to go, I guess, for the civil suit. But something about Florida laws kept that from completely draining him, so maybe he still has some cash in Florida.
Right, because that makes sense.
I don't know.
No, I mean, I think you're right, because Florida, they just want to make sure all the wrong people have all the money.
That's what Florida's all about?
No, I don't. I was... Edit that out there to Jay.
Are we going to make him edit this episode, even though he's not in it?
Yes, of course. Are you going to edit it?
Does he really think I hate him?
What?
Like, I never... Sometimes he like, drives that point home sometimes. And I feel like he doesn't think I like him very much.
No, it's that he hates everyone.
He's just projecting his shit on everybody else and just assuming they think the way he thinks?
I mean, yeah, I mean, come on.
I don't think he hates. I think he's one of the... He's always jolly and, like, foo-foo-foo-foo-foo, like, punching at people and... He's a jolly fella.
He's doing the punching because that's like what he has to do to keep himself from stabbing you, which is what he wants to
he's
be.
He's just
doing.
Imagining he's holding two knives.
Yes.
When he's doing the let's go find your sister. Foo, 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 foo.
One of these is a doodle, knife doodle, knife doodle, knife doodle.
No, just sometimes I worry because I do feel like I'm very fairly straight faced and I can be quite emotionally distant. But no, I like TJ a lot. He's awesome.
I'm glad one of us does.
Yeah, seriously. Mm.
But it's cool. I like it that like he thinks that I like him, and he wonders if you like him. It's like the other. It's
totally. Like, I'm just craving his positive attention, and you can't fucking stand it. Oh my god!
Like I say, mission accomplished.
Yeah, I think we've got this pretty much unlocked.
All right. Well. At the very least, your position is safe on this podcast because we know we've got you in our sights there, Pig Roast.
Just gaslighting the shit out of
him. Right, right.
Making him wonder who actually hates him.
It's one of us, though. Just know that it's one of us. All right. Well, you know where you can find out who hates who on Armageddon After Party. It's on the Facebook fight.
How about this?
The Facebook fight?
Facebook fight. It's about the Facebook fight. There we go. You guys know where you can find all the information you want to about Armageddon After Party. It's on the Facebook site at Facebook.com/Armageddon After Party. You know, answer some of the questions we ask, damn it. Make us feel alive. And not just this digital readout that goes over the interwebs and into your ear holes. We want to feel you. We want you to feel us.
Want to sneak up and grab you from behind like a old lady with a just a throat full of tacos. Just breathe it in. Just get right up there. And that white hair just tickling your nose.
Smells like baby powder.
I love baby powder.
Who doesn't? Do you love Vagisil? No, it doesn't have anything to do with old ladies. I was trying to think of an old lady product. Do you like denture cream? Do you like
whatever that fizzy shit is they put in a glass with your dentures to clean them all? Fix it in? Was that?
Fix it in is what you use to like to cure them.
Glue them onto your toothless gums.
You're thinking about what effing present is called?
Alka-Seltzer for your dentures. I can't remember what it was.
It was called Denture Clean.
Possibly.
Was it Denture Clean?
Just sparkling bright white.
Denture Clean. It's got effervescent action. Let me rub up against those depends and let you know that you can depend on me.
Your backside's so poofy, girl.
I'm gonna dislodge that taco all night long.
God, what if you gave her the thrust? She blasts the tacos out, you catch it, and then immediately just slowly just pull it back and you're.
No, I chew it up for her, and then I spit it back into her mouth.
Baby bird. Baby bird,
here you go, darling. It's easy to swallow now.
She just immediately goes down to her knees and just opens her mouth and looks up at you longingly, and you're just spitting chewed up tacos into her mouth as you both just build towards powerful orgasm.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of orgasm just from dropping food in some old lady's mouth. It'll be so good. It'll be so good. You guys can go to Instagram and follow me at dick.leverboy. Hey, check out some of my yoga pictures. They're real weird that I have those on Instagram. You can go to Twitter. God dang it. I'm yelling so loud. You can go to Twitter and you can follow us at AfterPartyPod. You can follow Gerald Impartante over here. That's the Reverend Florist. Hey, he's not here tonight, but you can follow T-E-E-J Higgins. That's the Pig Roast. He's on both Instagram and the Twitter sphere. Hey, let us know you're listening. We're struggling over here. I can only get like one person every week. But who's here? Who's here every week? Not me. I call out sometimes, and then they don't. Nobody ever does it without me. You know, you guys can always come and break into the bunker if you need to.
Of course.
All right. Well, all I can say at this point is from the bunker in beautiful Athens, Georgia, I'm Dick Loverboy saying goodnight for the Reverend Florist. Say goodnight, boy.
It's not so much a dog barking as like someone clearing their throat, just like. I was trying to figure out a way to go out on the Easy Gidget.
This is sound like an old lady made when I fucking gave her a little thrust.